Welcome to the History Reviewed channel, where we analyze the lies and deceptions of history. Nowadays, I find it hard to believe that 10 and more years ago, I used to actually take liberals seriously. When some white liberal said something, I listened to it, I studied it, I considered it, I thought about it, and if I differed with it, which I often did, I would think carefully about the logical reasons and the proofs as to why it's wrong or partly wrong, etc. Nowadays, I just don't care what liberals think. I just think liberals talk a bunch of shit. I think Jews and liberals just talk a big load of crap. They take everything about life, history, and everything, and they take it out of context, and they twist it, and they turn it, and they invent their bullshit propaganda, and they just talk a bunch of crap that's got no basis in current reality, and it has no basis in past reality. While preparing for this video, I was hunting around for some stuff on the internet, and I came across an article published by a mainstream British website, and it had this title: The Roman Supremacy, How a Mighty New Empire Was Built by Violent Copycats. So these British scum are busy dissing the Roman Empire. An empire that Hitler had high regard for, very high regard for, and he even tried to emulate a lot of it. Napoleon had tremendous regard for it. The founding fathers of America and lots of other whites in Europe and other Western countries have had very high regard for the Romans. So here you got to read this bunch of crap that says, The Roman Supremacy, How a Mighty New Empire Was Built by Violent Copycats. Such a bunch of junk. And when you study history, you'll see that all these whites that they are bad-mouthing, who are our ancestors, regardless of whether they are German tribesmen or Gauls or Romans or whoever, when you actually dig down into it, you'll see that they were people just like us. And they were people just like us who were trying to live and work and move forward. And often, they were struggling for their existence. They faced dangers far greater than anything that you and I have faced or that modern civilization has faced. And here are these liberal and Jewish bags of crap. And they're busy bad-mouthing whites who lived in ancient times and achieved amazing things. And the crap that they can write about our ancestors, it's just a bunch of utter nonsense. And I'm going to show you why these people are awesome and why people like Hitler, Napoleon, the founding fathers of America, why those people looked up to the Romans to such a degree that they based many things on the Romans and the Greeks and so forth, but the Romans especially. These are white people, and they built a great civilization. They built one of the most amazing civilizations that ever existed. And here is some modern, weak, liberal shitbag busy dissing them. It is easy for weak, pathetic, useless, spineless garbage to go and say bad things about people who were far, far greater than they would ever be. These same people, these same bags of shit, also run around screaming about white racism and white supremacism. They run around screeching and howling about white supremacism. So I want to show you real supremacism. We've heard all this screeching and crying about white supremacism, but I'm going to show you supremacism like you've never come across it before. I'm going to show you Roman supremacism. And this will be your first taste of how the Romans thought. How was it that a small group of whites had a small village to themselves once, and this small group of whites, who were probably mostly a bunch of white men who were sort of criminals, they were really nothing, they were garbage. How was it that a group of white men who were literally a bunch of criminals, who didn't have women and who lived in a little place, how was it that they founded and created and grew one of the greatest civilizations that has ever existed? And they dominated Europe for 1,000 years. What was it about those people that made them so different? Why did they achieve something that the Celts, the Gauls, the Germans did not achieve? What was it about them that made them different? And that's a little bit of what I'm going to discuss here with you. But make no mistake, there are things that we can learn from all whites. And I even want to go back to the German tribes because there are some very, very interesting things that the German tribes knew that I've never come across anybody else who mentions it. All whites learn all sorts of things and they have something to contribute, make no mistake. But the Romans achieve success on a scale that is so grand, so amazing, that even to this day we are digging up Roman stuff, looking at Roman stuff, and you know what? A lot of Roman stuff looks pretty modern, even though we're looking at stuff 2,000 and more years ago. A question I've had in my mind over the years as I've dug into history, when I look at maps of Europe and I see how states, different states, grow and decline and rise and fall, and how the map of Europe has changed over centuries. And even in short periods of time, like 100 and 200 years, you'd see the map of Europe changing. States which were there suddenly disappear, new ones arise, etc. I eventually reached the conclusion that while there are many reasons for the rise and fall of states and nations, there also has to be a psychological factor. A factor of how those people see themselves and how determined they are as a people to exist. You can pick it up in various history if you look at the French, the Germans, the Vikings, the Spanish, and many others. You'll see that they go through times when they explode with energy. When whites are energetic and determined, like Americans used to be, when whites are energetic and determined, and they're not going to let somebody crush them, they're not going to let somebody push them down, they're going to fight back and they're going to stand up for themselves. All of white history is filled with examples of whites standing up for themselves, sometimes in the face of incredible odds. Sometimes tiny white nations fight against invading empires and things like that. So let's look at the stuff that the Jewish scum are always complaining about, which is white supremacism. What is white supremacism? I was watching a video done by the late great Tom Metzger in the 1980s or 1990s. Tom Metzger did really, really awesome shows. And in one of those shows that I was watching, I think it was one where he was talking to none other than Ben Klassen, the founder of the Church of Creativity. And I think there were three of them on that show. And suddenly somebody piped up and mentioned the topic of white supremacism. And then they mentioned there's white supremacism and white separatism. And what is the difference between them? So, white separatism is when you want to rule yourself and you want to live by yourself. In other words, if you wanted a white ethno state, then you're a white separatist. But if you're a white supremacist, supremacism means you want to rule other people. So a supremacist is somebody who believes that they have a right to rule other people. And in modern times, the implication or the suggestion is that you want to rule, let's say, blacks, that you believe you have a right to rule blacks or other non-whites or Jews. Though I must point out that if you go and you look into the filthy, dirty religion of Judaism, you'll discover that there's a ton of Jewish supremacist statements made by Jewish rabbis, where they say that they are to rule other people, that they're entitled to slaves. If you want to see some nasty supremacism, go and check out some of the writings and quotes of these Jewish rabbis and related Jews. But of course, the only people who really get knocked over supremacism are whites. Anyway, so white supremacism is also not only ruling over others, but you can have your state, but you can still have non-whites working for you, either as cheap labor or as slaves. So in that regard, those of us who lived in Africa as colonials or under apartheid, we would be white supremacists if you believe that we're going to have a white state, but we're still going to have black labor that maybe doesn't have the vote, and we're going to have these blacks working for us, then you'd be a white supremacist. However, I'm a white separatist. For many, many reasons, I'm a white separatist. We can be supremacists if we want to, but there are lots of downsides to having these other people among us. But that's a deeper discussion to do with other things, including IQ, etc. So supremacism is if you believe that you can rule other people, that you are superior to them and they would be better off, or whatever, you are superior to them, you have a right to rule them, etc. And you'll see all these weaklings, all these liberals, and of course the Jews, endless howling Jews, crying endlessly about white supremacism, the white right, etc. White supremacism is a threat, blah, 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 blah. And what a crime it is, and how bad it is, and how evil it is, and all that whine and cry and crybaby liberal Jew crap. So, let me introduce you to the Romans. More specifically, let me introduce you to Roman supremacism and what whites can learn from Roman supremacism. So let me read to you some things that an American academic wrote, and we will in fact be returning to a lot of this stuff in more detail, and then you'll realize what the Romans were really like. But for our purposes today, we're going to look at Roman supremacism. So here's an opening sentence that gives a little bit of background about the Romans. And this academic, who's a white man with a PhD, he writes the following. In 1,200 years, the tiny village of Rome established a republic, conquered all of the Mediterranean basin and Western Europe, lost its republic, and finally surrendered its empire. In the process, the Romans laid the foundation of Western civilization. Then he says, the reasons for Roman success. How is it that a small people possessing relatively poor soil and harbors came to rule over the largest empire in the world, spanning several million square miles and containing 75 million people? The Romans' geographical advantages and cultural traits account for much of their success. So he writes about their history and their geography, which we're not going to go into. We're going to look at the Romans as people. So he writes their cultural traits. The Romans possessed important cultural traits that also contributed to their success. They were pragmatic, tough, and frugal. Let me pause there. I'm used to frugality, and being frugal is actually a long-standing white trait. White people don't waste stuff, except for the spoiled rich scum. But the vast majority of whites are frugal. You have things like waste not, want not. A penny saved is a penny earned, and things like that. So it continues. They subordinated themselves to the family and to Rome. The patriarch of an extended family theoretically possessed absolute authority over the entire clan, including the power of life and death. But in reality, exercises of this power were extremely rare and sometimes punished as murder if a court deemed the cause insufficient. So let me also just point out here it talks about a court. You will discover that the Romans and also other ancient whites were nowhere near as uncivilized and retarded as Jews and liberals would like you to think. Our ancestors were a hell of a lot cleverer than you may realize. So it continues. The Romans utilized a large collection of stirring myths to instill courage, selflessness, honesty, and patriotism in their children. The greatest of these myths was that of the founding of Rome. According to Virgil's Aeneid, Aeneas, son of the Trojan aristocrat Anchises and the love goddess Venus, had led a few refugees out of Troy before it fell to the Greeks. The refugees encountered many hardships before reaching Italy, where they settled down with local Latin tribesmen. 13 generations later, two of Aeneas's descendants, Romulus and Remus, established Rome. Romulus and Remus were the sons of the war god Mars and of Rhea Silvia, a priestess sworn to chastity. Rhea Silvia's uncle, the king of Alba Longa, angry with her for breaking her vows, rejected her claim that the father was Mars, Mars being the war god, imprisoned her and had her infant sons exposed on the banks of the Tiber. In other words, for them to lay out in the open and die. But a wolf found and suckled Romulus and Remus, until a herdsman discovered and raised the brothers. According to the myth, in 753 BC, the brothers returned to the site where they had been exposed as infants, and Romulus traced the outlines of Rome with his plough. Romulus killed Remus in a fit of rage over an insult and became the first king of Rome. This myth gave the Romans a noble origin and lineage. They were descended from Trojan heroes and from the god of war himself. It continues, from such myths, the Romans learned courage, discipline, persistence, patience, self-restraint, hard work, endurance, honesty, piety, dignity, and manliness. So let me just go over that list, because Christians often think that certain values are purely Christian and it isn't pagan, let's call it. But these are pagan values. This is what Romans believed right from the beginning. So here are these values: courage, discipline, persistence, patience, self-restraint, hard work, endurance, honesty, piety, dignity, and manliness. I think of them, manliness is the only value that Christians don't openly preach. But otherwise, lots of these others, honesty, courage, hard work, those are normal things that all whites have. Those are normal values that all whites across the world live by. They believe in all these things: discipline, persistence, self-restraint, hard work. There may be one or two or three of these that don't quite fit in with everybody, but most of these are very much white values. So let's continue. The last of these qualities was virtus, whence comes virtue. Indeed, most of the English terms listed above are Latin in origin, Latin being the language the Romans spoke. But now, in the next section, you're going to see some stuff about the Romans that are going to surprise you. So the Romans have got an idea of who they are, and they have their myths and their values, and they have certain virtues that they instill in themselves, but it goes to the next level. Now listen carefully to this. Most important, perhaps, the Romans possessed a sense of invincibility. I'm going to repeat that. Most important, perhaps, the Romans possessed a sense of invincibility. The Roman historian Livy wrote, quotes, "It is as natural for Romans to win battles as for water to go downhill." So let me repeat that. The Roman historian Livy wrote, "It is as natural for Romans to win battles as for water to go downhill." This feeling of invincibility stemmed from the Roman belief that the gods would support them completely as long as they performed the proper rituals. Now this is quite funny, because this is sort of the way that Boers are and that Christian Americans are, in the sense that they believe that they've got to do good stuff and be in line with God, and they've got to behave themselves. There's a little bit of that in them. In the case of the Romans, though, their God isn't a God of love. Theirs is a God that allows them to win. So the Romans feel that as long as they are very good with their religious rituals, that the gods, because they're pagans, so they got multiple gods, they got lots of gods, that as long as they are true to their gods, that their gods will allow them to win. So they believe in their own invincibility as long as they stay true to their pagan gods. And it says, "For this reason, perhaps no other people has ever been so obsessed with ritual. The Romans never went to war without performing the same rite. If a mistake was made during any ritual, however time-consuming, the Romans began again from the beginning. It did not even matter that, in some cases, the meaning of the ritual had been forgotten. If the College of Priests found fault with the rites performed by a consul or praetor with regard to a public act, and the Senate concurred, the act was declared invalid." So the Romans take their religious rituals to their pagan gods exceptionally seriously, to the point where they've got a College of Priests. They can even take this to the Senate and escalate it to the Senate, and the Senate can discuss it, and they can determine, was this religious rite performed correctly? And if it wasn't, then it's invalid. Many rituals originated in elaborate family rites, handed down from father to son, for the purpose of appealing to Ceres, the goddess of agriculture, Vesta, the goddess of the hearth, Lares, the household gods. Even the family meal was a religious ceremony during which the Romans offered prayers, incense, and libations to the gods. Doesn't this sound a lot like Christians who pray before a meal? Except that with the Romans, they go further than prayer for their family meal. They even offer incense and libations to the gods. So let's continue. Military victories reinforced the Roman sense of invincibility, which in turn produced more victories. On the few occasions when the Romans lost battles, they believed that the gods were merely trying to teach them a lesson in order to keep them from becoming too proud. Nearly all Roman authors cited piety as a crucial factor in the city's success. So let me just go over some of those words. Libation. A libation is a drink poured out as an offering to a deity. So in other words, you can pour some rum for one of the gods. So that's what a libation is. So the Romans at the dinner table for the family meal, they can say prayers, they can offer incense, and they can even pour a drink to a deity. Now for piety. Piety is defined as, piety is a virtue which may include religious devotion or spirituality. A common element in most conceptions of piety is a duty of respect. In a religious context, piety may be expressed through pious activities or devotions, which may vary among countries and cultures. So piety is really a religious thing. It's a religious behavior. It goes hand in hand with things like charity. So the Romans are not arrogant. The Romans make sure that they behave totally correctly with respect to the gods, and that if they behave properly and they do their religious rituals properly, and they behave correctly to the gods, that they will then be allowed to win victories. They actually believe that thanks to this behavior, the gods will make them invincible. So they believe totally in their own invincibility. They believe totally that they will win. They believe that victory for them is absolutely natural. It's like the law of gravity, that they will win because that's what Romans do. And if Romans don't win, then it means that they've angered some god somewhere, and the god is punishing them by letting them lose. So they're not an arrogant people. They are very religious and spiritual in their pagan way. And as this academic says, nearly all Roman authors cited piety as a crucial factor in the city's success. Interestingly enough, in the very early time of the Romans were actually ruled by a couple of kings. They were ruled by seven kings. And the last king was such a rotten bugger, he was an Etruscan who seized power. The Romans hated him so much that when they got rid of him, they hated the term king to such a degree that never again did they use the term king. I think the founding fathers of America picked up on some of those things because Americans are obsessed with being ruled by tyrants and that they need to overthrow them and get rid of them. And I suspect that that comes from this Roman attitude. So let's go and ponder a bit this issue of Roman invincibility. The Romans believed that if they were true to their gods, that they were invincible, and the gods would allow them to win battles. And for them, winning battles was the normal thing. It was like water running downhill. If you don't win a battle, then something is very wrong. Like in many things, it often doesn't matter whether some of what you believe is right or wrong. What is more important is how you feel about yourself. And the Romans, regardless of their gods, the Romans believed firmly in their own invincibility. If they stick with the gods, they will be invincible. There was another friend of mine, an American, who was also a big scholar of the classics and the Romans, and he was the first one to tell me about the Romans and their obsession with conservatism, you could call it. The Romans did not just change their society. The Romans were very conservative. They stuck with their rituals, with their values, with their beliefs. They didn't just change willy-nilly. It's not like this world where Jews come and they now tell you transgender is good and that thing that you believed just 20 years ago or 10 years ago that it's wrong. The Romans were very stuck in their rituals and in their beliefs. They were a very, very conservative society in that sense. But when it came to innovation, to warfare, to other things, they didn't have problems with learning and changing and adapting. In the real world, they were practical. But when it came to their beliefs, they stuck to their beliefs. And as you can see, they have this concept even of like an extended family, a clan, and in theory, the patriarch can put someone to death. But another factor about the Romans is that you'll see that process is important to them. So they don't just do these things. The Romans are very careful with legal processes. They've got lots of processes. Even in South Africa today, we run on Roman Dutch law. I'm not sure how many other countries in the world have got some kind of partial Roman law. Roman law was so good that it's something that Western civilization has inherited. But the bottom line is that the Romans saw themselves as a group and they believed in their own invincibility. They believed in their ability to survive as a group. Regardless of the religious stuff, the bottom line is that they believed in themselves as a group. Now, we whites, we have become so confused, so divided, and all this liberal bullshit, as well as all these isms in politics, that you can be conservative or liberal or libertarian or this or that. All these things actually take us away from our group viewpoints. We actually end up getting divided over all kinds of things instead of seeing ourselves as a group. We worry about the politics, we worry about religion, we're divided. We are divided by politics, we are divided by religious views. We don't see ourselves as a group, but we are a group. We're a physical group and we are physically linked to each other. And we are a group that have common ancestors. It's like one of my earliest and most awesome supporters on the original African crisis, Joanne Wilcox, who passed away in 2012. Joanne Wilcox would speak to me on the phone, and this old American lady would say, "But Jan, we could be cousins." Which is true. It's true because we come from Europe. And if we're not cousins, there is no question that somewhere along the line, hundreds or even thousands of years ago, we've got common ancestors. Like I published a story once where scientists were saying that through DNA, etc., they've established that every single person in Europe, and this then probably has to extend into every single person who's left Europe, that every single person in Europe is related to a group of people who lived in what is now Belgium 35,000 years ago. Jews are trying endlessly to pretend that in some way we aren't a group, but we are a group. And it's not to do with color, it's got to do with heredity, and it's got to do with who are our ancestors. And we all, the European people, come from tiny groups of ancestors who lived tens of thousands of years ago. But Jews will want to say, "Oh, you know, what is white? Are you really white if you're Portuguese? Is Portuguese the same as Polish and blah, blah, blah?" Jews are just trying to mess with your head. The bottom line is our ancestry and our physical DNA determines that we are linked together. Western civilization is produced by white people. We've just come to use the term white, but European race would be a much more accurate term. So we as whites in the modern age, we don't even see ourselves as being one people when in fact we are without question from the same ancestors. And if we were anything like the Romans, we would just look at it and we'd say, "But we're the same people." And Hitler himself saw the European people as invincible. He said that under the swastika is invincible. And the only thing that makes sense is that he was looking at the swastika as a representation for the European people. Can all the European people be conquered? Small groups of people can be conquered, but there's no ways in hell 600 million whites in Europe can be conquered and crushed. The population of whites in this world is a minimum of 600 million, maybe even more. Because there's still 100 million sitting in South America, there's another 200 million sitting in North America. We are a minimum of 600 million, but perhaps even more. So the notion that we don't have confidence in ourselves as a group, that's insane. It's utterly insane. There were the Romans, and you must remember, populations in those days were far smaller than they are today. Far smaller. The Roman Empire, after hundreds and hundreds of years of expansion, population growth, and merger with others, eventually became 75 million people. But that took hundreds and hundreds of years. It was a long time before Rome itself became the first city with 1 million people in it. And here are the Romans who face real enemies who really can come and kill them and who are aggressive and who do have the means and the power to attack them. They face other tribes, they face many empires, empires that pack a punch. And yet the Romans regarded themselves as invincible. The Romans never lost faith in themselves as a group. Never. And they really experienced huge disasters. I'm talking huge military disasters. Yet never at any time did the Romans lose faith in themselves as a people. No matter how many enemies they have, no matter how bad it is, and let me tell you, they had it really bad. There were times when the Romans were battling to survive. They were really, really struggling. Even when they were strong, there were times when things went very wrong for them. And we will talk about some of those instances later. But the Romans had tremendous things that they faced, tremendous threats that they faced, and yet the Romans never at any time lost faith in themselves as a group. Yet here we are as whites today with the greatest civilization, the greatest technology, insane levels of military power, and we are talking, oh no, no, the blacks are going to conquer us, the Chinese are going to conquer us. But we don't even look at ourselves and we don't even have faith in ourselves. And that is disgusting. It has no merit whatsoever. To be that afraid, to be that negative is crazy. The Romans were never like this. So the Romans believed in themselves as long as they also stuck together. They believed in their value as a group, that their group is invincible. Even though they are not like 100 million, they believe that their group is invincible, and they believe that they can win battles, and that it's natural for them to win battles. Their group faith knows no bounds. I also know from other reading of my own that the Romans even believed that they had the right to rule others. And the Romans always operated in the name of the Romans. So the Roman army would go around and it would talk and say, well, we are the representatives of the Roman people. And we are here because of this and this and this for the Roman people. And they'd even say things like, you've committed a crime against the Roman people, etc., etc. They operated in the name of the Roman people. And then, if they were busy in a war, let's say in a siege, they've besieged a city and the city is holding out, and the inhabitants of the city have got lots of food, and they could hold out for months or even years. The Romans would say to them, look, we're going to be easy on you if you just surrender. Surrender and we'll be nice to you. If you don't surrender, we're going to be really nasty because we're going to beat you anyway, and when we beat you, we're going to punish you. The Romans firmly believed that they were better at ruling other people than the other people were at ruling themselves. They were true supremacists. They would tell others, we can rule you better, and they even expected it. They even expected others to submit to their superiority. The Romans didn't know anything about DNA. They didn't know anything about IQ. Those things are magnificent scientific discoveries that we have the benefit of knowing. That we know that there are things that we've inherited in our DNA that do, in fact, give us an edge. Yet we doubt ourselves. The Romans, who didn't have any of that benefit, were totally confident in themselves as people, as individuals, and above all, as a group. And if there's one thing whites need to learn, it's to stick together as a group. If we functioned as a group and we believed correctly in the invincibility of our race, then we would never sit and grovel in front of blacks or Chinese or anybody else. We would speak to them the way the Romans spoke to anybody else they came across. We'd say to them, "Listen, you, you've committed a crime against the white people, and we are the representatives of the white people, and we're here to punish you." Or we're here to get certain things out of you. You owe us for the crimes you've committed, and you must make amends or we'll deal with you. There is nothing that stops us from operating and thinking like that. The Romans were very law-abiding people. They had very firm concepts and they were very fair. And all these things I'm telling you are about the Romans before Christianity even existed. That is what the original pagan Romans were like. I just want to end by showing you some things about the Romans that will show you a little bit of what they were like as people. Just so that you can see that no, they weren't these creeps that liberals and Jews and just assorted weak garbage of Western civilization want you to believe. If you look on the image in front of you, is a map of the Roman Empire. But that particular map, those red dots, are all the cities in the Roman Empire. So look at all those cities in the Roman Empire. Notice carefully that North Africa is ruled by white people. Europe extends into North Africa and the Middle East. The Romans are ruling all of those places that you don't associate with Europe these days. In that image on the bottom left, that is an image that I found of a Roman mosaic. In fact, the rest of this image is made up of nothing but Roman mosaics. Just some of the Roman mosaics that they've discovered. The Romans did these mosaics on the floors of their houses. These are obviously the wealthier people. But on the bottom left is a mosaic from a Roman villa in Portugal. In Portugal. And look at that mosaic. And what do you see there? You see a swastika that goes in the other direction, in the opposite direction to Adolf Hitler's swastika. So there's a swastika, it just is pointing in the other direction, but there's a swastika on the floor of a Roman house. The swastika is an old white symbol. Now, on the top right is an amazing Roman mosaic. Look at that mosaic. There you see Roman women and girls in what appear to be bikinis. There are Roman women and girls in bikinis, and look at them, they're busy playing and running. And you'll see there are balls that they're playing with and holding. And there's one girl who even seems to be holding what appear to be weights. Look at those things. Those weights look like the kinds of weights you would go and buy in a sports shop. Roman dress was much more like in the bottom part of that female thing, where if you look to the left, you'll see a woman and she's got robes. Romans dressed in robes. That was their style. But you can see, here are Roman girls and women looking very modern, eh? That could have been something you'd see in many parts of the Western world yesterday. It looks totally and utterly modern. What I didn't put in here, I didn't have space, but what I didn't put in here was mosaics of Romans with their dogs on leashes. You go and you look at the Romans had dogs, and the dogs were on leashes. If you go and you look at the mosaics of the Roman dogs, you'll also walk away with the feeling that that's whites today. You see, these people are no different to us. These are just some of our ancestors. Another mosaic that I thought was just one of many that I thought I'd show you, just to show you what are these Romans using for art? What do they see art as? In the bottom left is a mosaic, also a beautiful mosaic of, look at these ducks on water. That's a Roman mosaic. There are lots of mosaics. And if you look at those things, you'd say to yourself, hey, that's some pretty nice art. And that would be nice art today. And when you study our ancestors, you'll see how our ancestors are no different to what we are. The only difference lies in the way we think about certain values. And in that regard, I'm talking about the Christian values versus some of our more ancient values. Like these people had no problem with fighting enemies. They understood that enemies needed to be fought. You didn't love your enemy. You couldn't live in peace all the time, etc. Down in the middle is a mosaic where you see men on a ship. And you can see it's from that time. Of course, it's out of proportion, but they are probably pushed for space, etc. So there you can see a Roman ship with oars, and you can see the white men standing, you can see the sails, etc. But these people, in terms of how they think and their values and what they like and what they don't like, you'll see that these people are literally like us. Almost exactly. The only thing is, they aren't wishy-washy. They aren't a bunch of wishy-washy people. They value manliness. Men do certain men things. Women do certain women things. And that's how it works. But look at those bikini girls, those Roman bikini girls. And look at those ducks. And all those things would not be out of place today. If you found a decent artist, they would paint and draw things like those ducks, etc. So when you read all this liberal Jew crap, oh, the Romans are so cruel, the Romans are so this, the Romans are so that, they're such hideous, evil people, bunch of bullshit, okay? Bunch of bullshit. Same is actually true for all whites. All whites. You go and you study all the other tribes of whites. We're the same people, and we haven't changed much in certain respects. In certain respects, we've not changed much, if at all. And the only thing that's gone wrong with us is that we've lost our sense of invincibility, our sense of value of ourselves. But above all, the biggest thing that we've lost is faith in ourselves as a group. Adolf Hitler said it the best. He said that people under that swastika are invincible. That swastika is invincible. And that's how we should look at ourselves as a race. We as a race, as a people, are invincible. And even those few of us who live here in Africa, we are representatives of part of something that is enormous and invincible. The Jews, talking their Jew shit more than 2,000 years ago, the Jews were saying to the Romans and the Greeks before them, it was saying to the Romans and the Greeks that they had invented civilization. And the Romans and the Greeks laughed the Jews to scorn, which is correct. We should laugh the Jews to scorn. We should laugh all these others to scorn instead of letting them rule us and tell us what is right and what is wrong. We should laugh them to scorn, and we should tell them of the power of the European people, and they must beware of what they do and the crimes that they commit against the European people, because we, the representatives of the European people, may have to put them in their place. So, we should be like the Romans. We should even be more so like the Romans. I haven't touched on the topic of why white men are losing wars, why white men have been on a war-losing streak ever since World War II. But we never used to be losers, and we used to win even when the odds were stacked much more heavily against us. And you will recall that I've mentioned Ben Klassen of the Church of Creativity. Ben Klassen said whites need a religion, that's why he's inventing a religion specifically for whites, because a religion is the backbone of any successful civilization. And here you've seen that the Romans, believing in themselves, believing in their pagan gods, believing very much in their detailed religious rituals, that just by having that common basis for themselves, the Romans went on to do incredible, amazing, and awesome things. And it all came from a belief in themselves, a belief in their ability, but above all, a belief in themselves as a group. So don't let the Jews get you down. Don't listen to liberal crap. Don't listen to any of this anti-white bullshit. It is bullshit. And don't listen to them dissing our ancestors. And we should look on winning and progress as being as natural for us as water running downhill. We should look on ourselves and say that for us, victories, expansion, conquest, success, doing greater things in science, greater things in technology, achieving new things, that all of this is for us as natural as it is for water to flow downhill.
So for all this awesome, neat, wonderful stuff, you know, you don't thank the Lord, you thank the whites. We gave you Breaking Bad and all the songs by Creed, all the cast of Friends and trash like Tara Reid, a virtual world of porn so you can spill your seed. Ray-Ban glasses, leggy blondes with tiny asses, frisbee sports and fancy coffee too, energy efficient lights. And so for all this awesome, neat, wonderful stuff, you know you don't thank the Lord, you thank the whites.
Thank the whites, thank the whites.